build today what you want to see tomorrow. Because when I started, I just thought I would have instant results, and I really didn't. Like we said, it was 6 months before we sold a single thing. So build today towards what you want to see tomorrow.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry, sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. We bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links, and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. Now, here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. Joining me today from SJ Shooter Real Estate is Transform 2020 winner, Laura Shooter, and her husband, Samuel Shooter. So welcome to the show, Laura and Samuel. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, so last Friday was very exciting. Has Dubbo calmed down yet?
Yes, it was very exciting and plenty to do, so got back on with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the trouble in real estate. You can celebrate for about 5 seconds and then you've got another open or another appointment or something like that. Did you manage to get some celebration time in later on?
My favourite food is a Porto. So we got a Porto for dinner and it had been a very busy time leading up to it. So I finally, that wave of relief and satisfaction and everything washed over me and I was in bed by about 10:30.
Yeah, actually, I love that social media post that you put up saying this winner wanted chicken dinner. That was very, very, very cute. So Transform is a very full-on challenge for 30 days. Well, actually, it ends up being longer than 30 days if you join earlier. And they say if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. So tell us why you joined the challenge in the first place.
And the main reason it caught my interest is because COVID had been a little bit of a challenging time. I think our team culture and vibe had taken a little bit of a hit with everyone sort of being all over the place, and it was a busy time, and we're also preparing for an acquisition. So we currently have 3 in our property management team and we'll be bringing 4 on at the start of July. So I saw it as a really good chance. I got permission from their current boss to say, hey, would you mind if I put us all in this training together? And I just saw it as a great opportunity to have a shared experience and bring the team together with the current team and the new team that will be starting really soon.
Yeah, amazing. And what were your favourite aspects of the challenge?
The USP challenge was really good, and it was so the unique selling point. And it was really great for our team to get those responses back. So we had to send emails out asking people what are our superpowers, basically. And to see everyone receive those responses was really rewarding. But then to kind of take that next step and for me to go through and package that up into, well, what am I about and what do I do? It was really significant challenge. It helped me really define it and own it. And then I think another one, the Homely Challenge, has been really great just to jump online and just say some great things about our city. I wrote about my childhood street, where we brought our babies home to, and also just about Dubbo more generally as well.
Yeah, amazing. And Samuel, you were along for the ride with all of the challenge as well. What was the part of it that you found most beneficial or rewarding?
Oh, look, for me, I couldn't get quite as involved as Laura because we've got kids and the rest of life. So I really took up a bit more of that responsibility. But I loved the live sessions, just being able to connect with these incredible inspirational speakers and do so with our team. So directly after each session, we'd jump off and we'd, you know, talk about our top 3 takeaways and how we can implement something even from that point on and really use it to its max. So that was really great. And getting to connect with people like Claudio has been amazing. Yeah, I think it's been incredibly valuable.
Yeah, Claudio's a superstar, hey. I loved his incontestable value and how he was actually sort of bringing it back to too much audio out there, bring it back to the pen and paper. I thought that was killer.
Yeah,
that was great.
So let's go back to the beginning with you two. You guys had your beginnings in a study space in your home 5 years ago. Was it 5 years ago?
Nearly?
Almost, yeah.
And Samuel, you were a musician prior to real estate, and we know that now because we've seen you play very complicated guitar tuning, just in case I've let a big secret out of the bag. So tell us about the start of your business and how you went from, well, both of you went from music coaching into real estate.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've been doing music since I was five. I've been learning classical violin since then and picked up a range of other instruments since. So that had literally been all I'd done for 25 years. And when you're teaching, obviously it's a great privilege to teach the highly advanced students, but most of what you're doing is Mary Had a Little Lamb, Smoke on the Water, you know, that kind of stuff. And there's only so many times you can play that before you want to cry. So I did a bit of soul searching and I did want to get into another industry. And eventually my dad actually just said, what about real estate, son? And it just clicked. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. That's going to be somewhere I can, you know, take my skills of communication and I guess teaching and implement them in a different industry. And started in a franchise and got a good start there. But I guess, you know, I wasn't feeling that was the long term for me. And we moved on to an independent and same. And that's where we ended up being in a position where we said, should we do this on our own? And SJ Shooter Real Estate was born.
Yeah. So what were some of the early challenges of working together from home?
Well, I was heavily pregnant with our second child when we started the business, and Samuel had honoured his non-compete, took 6 months off to study in that. So we were pretty poor, and he'd picked up a couple of guitar students to keep things ticking over. But so we started the business, and I think probably the biggest challenge was expectation versus reality. Just because you decide to start a real estate business doesn't mean everyone you know is going to decide to sell their house. And I think the level upping that was required of us, needing to get that discipline and that structure, became pretty evident. There was a good story. It's symbolized in a bottle of Summersby pear cider. And it took us over 6 months to sell anything. So you'd 6 months off, and then 6 months before we even sold anything. That's like a long time between drinks.
Yeah, we're pretty broke by then.
And so, but you know, there's still a lot to do when you start a business. So it was a very busy 6 months. We worked really hard, and you know, between the baby who didn't sleep and the toddler who was clingy and all those things, we had a lot on our plate, and we did have a little break over Christmas and just took some time out. And then we got back into it. And the first day on the job, I walked past the study, and it's like the afternoon, maybe 2 o'clock.
It was two, yeah.
In the afternoon, and I've looked, and I'm like, Samuel, are you drinking cider? I'm like, have you cracked open a bottle of cider and you're sitting in the office drinking it? Which is just really bizarre, because alcohol isn't a huge feature in our life anyway, but it's like, I'm like, what is even happening?
And I was still in my pajamas, if I'm being completely honest. So I hadn't done a lot that day.
There was no coronavirus back then.
No, either. No. And it was our first day back. And I'm like, I just don't think this is going to work. So I sat him down and I'm like, Samuel, I love you more than I love the idea of us running a business together. And if this is the level you want to play at, that's cool. I'm not even mad. Let's just call it now before we waste any more time or money and just go get a job, because this isn't how you're going to take us from nothings to actually making some coin and making a living out of this. So he had to think about it. And
I thought about, should I justify it by saying I'd already made 6 calls and it was only 2 p.m.? But I thought that probably wasn't great. And Laura has an unnerving calm that inspires you to action. Yeah. So promptly changed my ways.
Yeah. And so he kind of got connected in with some of the industry content that's out there. And there's a lot of great content in this industry. So he got plugged into that and started to learn what high performance looked like, the level. And yeah, we sort of took off from there.
Yeah, amazing. So what does the business look like now?
We moved from the home office into a little office in the CBD. It didn't have a shop front, but it was a good first step. We moved there and we started property management, and we loved that little office. It was great. We had some really good times there, some great staff. And then we picked up a lease on a really obvious building. It used to be the Blockbuster building in town. It's on a really busy street corner. So we moved into one side of that, kitted it out, and then about a year later, fitted out the rest of that building. When these new team come over, we'll have, I think it's 10 or 11 full-time staff and a couple of support staff as well.
Well done. And you've been married for 14 years and you've spent the last 4 or 5 years working together like this. So how do you maintain a balance? Like, you know, I know I'm pretty much in the same situation over here, as you know, but I'm keen to know how other people make it work.
We do have our lanes. So there's the things that we're each good at. And I think we really are playing to our strengths in this business. We didn't go into it thinking, oh, this is going to be great, because I didn't actually intend to join Sentinel in the business when we first started. But I think it helps that we're working on different parts of the business. There's a lot of days we get home and we're like, gee, we work together, but we don't even see each other. And I guess some things that make it work, we really do love each other and respect each other in that we have the hard talks with each other, but also just having the discipline to work when you have to work and let each other work when you have to work and kind of be, you know, upfront with each other about when's the next time you're going to be able to come up for air and booking in the date nights and the time with the kids and trying our best. It's hard when you're business owners, but being present with the kids when you're with them.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It is so hard.
And something else I think that's really helped is we have the same vision for the business. Mm. I don't have my separate goal for my arm of the business or Laura hers. We have this goal to reach as many people and impact as many lives as we can. And when we're pushing towards that, there's a lot less friction between us on that journey. And that's been amazing. And just by chance, it's ended up our personalities are similar in the sense that they're complementary, but they're different. Most of my sentences start with imagine if or what if, and Laura's are that let's analyze that, let's see what the return is.
Mine's always like, I've been thinking. And
yeah, yeah. I can relate to you, Samuel, and I'm sure my husband can relate to Laura. and you do need both, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So how is it working at the moment? So Laura, you're basically the general manager of the office, and Samuel, you're the high-flying salesperson. Is that how it kind of works?
Pretty much. So, and I sit with the property management team. So, and I get in and do operational property management when we've got people away or on leave. So great joy of condition reports and all those things that happen. So I'll get in and do those when needed. But, yeah, oversee the office. I kind of used to describe it as just everything else. So if it's not a property manager or a salesperson, I kind of do it. Yeah, Samuel's just, what are you up to this year, Samuel?
I've had offer accepted on my 41st sale this week.
Wow, that's amazing. That's congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Gosh, that is a long way from the living room in your pajamas with a pear cider.
Yes. Yes.
Thankfully, yes.
But I love that story anyway. Now, we know, Laura, you're a bit of a spreadsheet nerd now too. So what are your favourite tools and things to keep track of in the office, in particularly in property management?
Yeah. So it's funny. As much as I love spreadsheets, I don't support spreadsheets for the sake of spreadsheets. So where we've got tools in place, I try and make them do what I need them to. So we run PropertyMe, and so I've really just gone deep lately with how I can use what's already there to do it. And I've come up with a bit of a system. There is a particular part that I can download into a sheet and run some further analysis on. So that's something I'm doing. But we use Asana as well to track workflows. But I'm constantly scouring AppSumo for other options. And that's good too. It gives you other ideas about how you could run things. But they're probably the two key ones. And we run Eagle CRM. We've just changed over that about a year ago.
Okay, I've heard good things about that one actually. It's got some good automations and things like that.
Yeah. And look, it's always improving. And I think when we first came over, there were a few workarounds we needed to put in place, but they've actually addressed them now, and I'm really happy to see that. And, it's getting better all the time.
Yeah. So you might be in a regional area, but you're both lovers of technology just in general, as you've just demonstrated. And you've been using video in your marketing for quite some time. Who was the driver of that?
I actually say Samuel's brother.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about that.
Okay, my brother Nathan, he runs Thrive Media, which is video brand consultancy, personal branding, everything. Really, really clever guy and a good one to have in our corner. When we started out, like we said, we had no money, not much of an idea, and no client base to go from. So he said, you've got to stand out in the market, and one of the best ways you can do that is let's get some agent videos of properties happening. Now, this was sort of mid to late 2015, and it hadn't really been done here, so we jumped on that. And I think the first video I did was about 3 weeks after our first child was born, and it looks like it and I sound like it, but immediately that started to make an impact. Secondly, we made it cheap as chips to include in our marketing, so that nearly no properties went to market without a video like that, and that was a really great place to start. We've changed our approach a little now because of the higher volume and some of the tech we've got. But, yes, that was a great place to start.
And now it's kind of more, so we do a weekly market update. It was something you said during Transform. You said, if you don't own the market, report on the market. And I remember I felt really clever. I had this idea when we were in our little first building. I'm like, we should do a market update and just talk about the properties that have sold in town, even though you didn't sell them.
Because so, we weren't telling nearly
anything. We weren't featuring really much in the sale. Maybe we're doing all right. But, yeah, so we started that and it's kind of grown from there. We must have been doing it nearly 3 years now, I think,
the weekly market update.
And so that's been a constant feature of video in our socials as well.
Yeah, I reckon not just because I said it, but I think it's a really great strategy that you were just talking about there, Samuel, as well. Like if you make the video in the marketing package as cheap as chips, who are people seeing in the video? You. And then a lot of agents, I think, miss a trick in that they only report on their own properties, and then that makes it hard for the consumer to go and listen to this agent, this agent, this agent, this agent. Whereas if you are the reporter, then obviously you become the authority.
Yes.
Yeah, which is really cool. I'd like to talk about one of the marketing campaigns that you've spearheaded called New Lease on Love. So what is it and who came up with the idea?
This is another one. We can thank Nathan for the tagline.
It's a good one.
He rang me and he's like, I've been mulling on these ideas. He's like, what about New Lease on Love? And I laughed and he's like, oh, is it stupid? I'm like, no, I just think it's so awesome. That's amazing. How do you come up with this stuff? And so it started out as a tagline for one of our radio campaigns that talked about we had enough love for the landlord and the tenant. And from there it grew. We had it on our shop front. We had a nice, some decals done up with New Lease on Love, and it grew into our Christmas hampers that we do for tenants. So we invite our landlords to pay $30 to get a Christmas hamper delivered. The first year we did it, that was store bought. The next year we did it, they were all local produce. And another thing we did on Valentine's Day 1 year, and again, I can't take credit for this idea. It was one of our staff. He said, why don't we get like 2 dozen red roses and just take them around to our landlords and tenants and make a little video about it. And that's an amazing idea. Let's do it. So, yeah, so that was also tied in with the New Lease on Love campaign.
You guys are true romantics. I love it. Yeah, there's that word again. Is there anything that you're working on at the moment?
So we've got a bit of an overarching campaign going at the moment called Real Estate in More Dimensions. So when we started out, we had buy, sell, rent, which is pretty standard in the industry, but we've added on learn to that. So we're really wanting to go deep into the learn sector and just the real estate in more dimensions. So we've had 3D virtual tours of all our sale and rental properties for about 2 years. So really just drawing on that. We've run events in our event center, the experience center that we built. And so, yeah, events. We've interviewed a couple of politicians when there was a lot of drama going on in the media about us running out of water, allegedly, which was not actually the case. And so we did some interviews there to help clear things up about that.
The Experience Centre, like I've heard about that and I want to talk about that as well. So I hear you've got a dedicated media space in your office. Actually, someone came up with that in one of their pitches too, wanted to create.
Shay.
Yeah.
Shay Wallace.
Was she inspired by you guys?
I don't think so, because we didn't really talk about it too much before then, but it's 100% a great thing to invest in. And we were lucky enough to win a grant to go towards it through our local council business awards. So that was cool. That helped with some of the cost of kitting it out. But really, again, that was Nathan's sowed the vision to us of having the experience center. And when we moved into the second stage of the office, we allocated quite a substantial portion of it to that. And yeah, so media events. We've got these cool little color-changing LEDs in the ceiling that we control on our iPad, which is cool. But, yeah, we've got some nice painted brick walls, a white one, a blue one, and we've got some black walls, and we're getting some suspended lighting that we can, like, pull down on telescopic arms. That's in stage two.
Yeah. It's amazing how easy it is to create content when you set up. Again, I think that's a bit of the James Clear thing, like make it easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we get an idea, we can literally just head in, set up all the gears there, and we've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even that's been so valuable.
Even the weekly market updates, before we had the experience center, we turned off the phones. We had someone stationed out the front to stop someone walking in the front door while it was happening. And it was a huge disruption, but it was important. But, yeah, now no disruption. You just go in, get it done, and get on with the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you find that some of the local community come in and use it? Is it used by other people?
It's really been great for that. We've had other business owners come in and create their own content, which has been wonderful. And as recently as yesterday, we had an organization in doing some filming. So that happens quite routinely. And of course, we've run all our training events and all our content generation from there as well. So, yeah.
And other, we've had some other organisations run events in there as well.
Yes. Yeah,
great way to get to know people.
Yes, fantastic.
Yeah. So as the winner of Transform 2020, Laura, you had to pitch to the judges how you would spend the prize money of $5,000, and that's the first time we've given away that much money, which was very exciting and terrifying all at once. And you've come up with yet another great marketing idea. So can you tell us what your idea was?
It was broken down into three parts, and the first was to encourage the community to get involved in putting some more content on homely.com.au. I think Dubbo wasn't faring too well on Homely, and it was nice to see the agents involved jump on and improve that, but it'd be great to see some actual people who live here on there. So part of it will be prize money to really encourage people to jump on and answer some questions and say the things they love about Dubbo. And from there, the next part is to run some more competitions through Facebook and Insta, getting people to comment about local places and local people. So places they love visiting, including businesses, but also our attractions and parks and things, and then people who just deserve a shout out. And again, using some of that money as prize money. And it would always be done in My Dubbo shopping cards, which can be used at over 130 local businesses, which is great.
Yeah.
And then the part three, which is something I've been mulling on for a while. I love stopping and chatting with people that kind of know a bit about where Dubbo came from. And it had been a bit of a theme just randomly this year. It seemed to always come up when I was chatting with someone. I'm like, it'd be great to just sort of capture all these stories. So I came up with the idea to run like a local history promo. It's not a competition, but just to find out who are these people who have this great knowledge of our history, and then package up that and the three parts into a book that we can have for people to download who are thinking about moving here, but also create a hard copy to give out to everyone who was involved.
It's an amazing idea. I did see a book similar. There was someone I interviewed in Melbourne, Michael Love, who's written in the magazine a couple of times, but he's a third generation real estate agent. They've got this beautiful book called Love Real Estate, and it's hardcover, and it does go through the whole history of the area, you know. And when I heard you saying that, I thought that's such a beautiful idea, because then you're giving somebody something that actually means something to them.
Yeah.
To the area. What would you say to folks considering doing Transform next year, maybe?
Oh, get on it. I think
take a month off.
Just clear your schedule a little bit. And I think you get the most out of it by really going deep. So just be prepared to spend a few nights on the stuff. You're not going to be able to get it all done during the day when you're trying to list and sell and do all those things. But yeah, block out a little bit of time in the evenings or the mornings if you're a night or morning person, and really go deep with it. And the amount of valuable content, even just in the extra podcasts and things that you threw up on there, were just so great. And so much to get out of it.
Amazing. So what's next for you guys? World domination? You first, Laura.
We feel like we're only just getting started, really. Yeah, so totally. I think we finally feel like we've kind of graduated from not really knowing what we're doing, which is a really great feeling. So pretty much just more of the same. We just want to serve Dubbo better. We want to find new ways to, you know, champion our community and the people who are here and the other businesses who are here. And it'll be, I guess, more of the same, but increase volume.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about you, Samuel?
Yeah, look, pretty much the same. Just wanting to continue to develop our team so that they're becoming the best people, not just agents, but best people they can. And hopefully doing what we're doing, Sam, but on a greater scale again. That's the goal for the foreseeable future.
So no time for guitar lessons for like me.
No, Sally, you know what it's been? It's been basically 5 years, and I still get asked every now and again.
Yeah.
No, it's a no. Sorry.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's funny you were saying before about smoke on the water and stuff, because people might be confused listening to this, but I tried to play guitar a few times during Transform just to entertain everyone. And Mark has now booked me into guitar lessons. Thankfully, everyone can be thankful for that. But the first thing someone asked me for is, can you play Smoke on the Water or Pink Floyd? And I've always liked a good Eagles tune.
Okay.
It's been lovely spending some time with you, and you guys have been absolutely awesome during Transform and everything. And Laura, your pitch was wonderful, and we've just loved sort of working with you for the last 30 days. And also thank you for sharing your knowledge today in this podcast, because I think some of the things that you're doing are amazing with the media room and all of that sort of stuff. If there was one thing that you would like the audience to take away from this podcast, what would it be?
I think just always keep learning and be curious. And if you get ideas, like flesh them out, see where they take you. And it just, it is an amazing industry, but a lot of the things that are going to make you a successful agent or office is really boring. So you've got to keep that optimism and being realistic.
And what about you, Samuel? What would your advice be to agents maybe listening to this?
A big thing for me is build today what you want to see tomorrow. Because when I started, I just thought I would have instant results, and I really didn't. Like we said, it was 6 months before we sold a single thing. So build today towards what you want to see tomorrow. And like Laura said, we've got to remain optimistic, but you have to have that level of realism as well. For me, everything I do, I anticipate the best outcome. And Laura's much more realistic, so there's been that great balance. Yeah, go hard and play for the long game.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see what you guys do next. You're both awesome. Laura Shooter, Samuel Shooter, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Thanks, Sam.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate from Elite Agent. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit eliteagentelevate.com.